must have stories.
Huh?
To say that, you must have stories.
Oh, the stories, how many stories you want. You want to hear that one of the of his jealousies, which is very poignant, you know. Sometimes, you know, it makes me frightened. Okay, let's begin with Moses, you know.
Okay.
You all know who Moses is? Or you all don't know? Moses? Have you heard of Moses? Yeah, you know.
Okay. What did he do?
He's the guy that had the commandments.
Thou shalt have no other God before me.
It's a very beautiful and telling story. In the early years of life of Moses' life, if you all know Moses' life, I don't know. But, you know, whatever it is, it was a life of great wandering. And he is known as the, I think, one of the world's greatest wanderers. Eventually, it turned out to be so. But he renounced the world and he went wandering and from place to place. He's a young man in search of truth. And he goes out wandering and all that. He wanders from one place to another place in the deserts and all that and comes to a certain place. And his heart is set on a hill. He says, that's fine. It's close to the place, village here. It's secluded there. I can go there and remember my Lord. So he would go up there. And people are wondering, who is the stranger who has come there and comes after two or three days? Where does he eat? What does he do there? Oh, nobody knows him and he has just strayed over here. And what does he do up the hill there? He doesn't speak to anybody, he comes there, starts begging and eats his fill, and then he's seen there for some time, he keeps to himself. And again he disappears and he just goes there. With the passage of time, that's the same place where you have heard the story about Mount Sinai. You heard about that? Where he, that guy got the commandments, you know, as it is said. Yeah. So, this is what happened. So, what happened is, before this, Mera, still, it's, that guy has still to receive that. So now what happens is that, one day, the villagers gather. Now they are curious about him all the more. So one day, village heads come there and to him, say, hey, you disappear every now and then on the hill. What do you do there? Why are you there all the time? Come down. Most of the time you spend on the hill there and rarely you come down. And all the, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm conversing with my Lord. Oh, you converse with him? So, yeah. He spoke the truth. Because he was doing that, conversing in his own way, you know, pleading and cajoling the Lord and begging him and all that sort of thing. So he speaks to you? So, yeah, sometimes he does. So the rumor spread from one mouth to another that here is a man who goes there and converses with the Lord. Many people want to have some little things to be conveyed to the Lord, you know, and to get the answer. So somebody had heard that and comes there and says, will you, when you go next, will you please, when you converse with the Lord, please tell him that I remember him, but I am in a sad plight and all that, and please tell him. Have a little side glance at me and send me some comfort. Send me some help. Will you please convey to him? Sure. Oh, that day that he had said sure led him with many, many requests. Requests galore. The Lord himself is all vanishing now, gradually. He has matured himself now also. Now what happens is that was the village. Nearby village heard that. Now the villagers around, you see, they have heard that. And the crowd is coming every now and again. Wait there for two nights, three nights to see when Moses will return and when will he get the whim to go back, you know. So all would approach him, please, they will carry their tail. He has to carry their tails to the Lord. So that is the whole scene. Scene is there. But the story has not begun yet about the jealousy. To give you an idea what was happening at that time. One lady, a very old woman from a distant village, came specially for that man who can carry her message to the Lord and bring the answer. So she comes and she waits there. At last, she has a little conversation with Moses and says, "Will you please carry this message to my Lord? I love him. I think of him. I remember him all. He is my life. Tell him that I am here. Just remind him about me." "Sure, mother, sure, I will." And of course the woman is very happy about it. He goes, comes back whenever he wishes to come, after 2-3 days or 4 days. Woman says, the crowd is there, all pressing him, but the answers are on all that. So now the woman's turn comes. She's very old and she goes there. "Yes, Moses, my son, did you bring the message from him? What did my Lord say? Does he remember me?" So Moses turns to her and says, "Remember? I think somehow or other he remembers you the most. What did he say?" He says, "Oh, I not only that I know of her, but she has a special corner in my heart. I love her very much. She is very dear to me." And her face falls. "Moses, are you sure? Is the Lord telling in answer to my message?" "Yeah. I'm not speaking untruth. This is what the Lord said to me. That you are very dear to him. That you have a special corner in his heart. And he loves you very much. I cannot believe it." No. There is some mix-up. There is some mix-up there. In your conveying or in this or that. Or in your conveying now, it must be for somebody else. It cannot be for me. Did he say? How could he say that? Why not? Don't you love him? So of course I love him. He's my very life. But how can he say that I love her, that she has a corner in my heart and all that? It's not, there's some mix-up. "Will you please, when you go again, repeat the message and say, is that old woman who has come from long distance from this village, remembers and this and that and sends this message, just as a reminder." Again the reply comes, to cut the story short, same thing, same reply. And she is not believing in Moses and insisting that there is some mix-up. There is something wrong with God recognizing me and all that stuff. So Moses, of course, is flabbergasted. What to do with this woman? What can I say? So when the crowd has dispersed and all that, when Moses is by himself going, so holds by his hand and draws him aside. Says, "Come here, my son. I have to tell my story to you. Why I insist that there is a mix-up. Do you know who I am?" "I don't know." Then she tells the story. Once she was very beautiful. She began to lead a wayward life, remained as a prostitute for many years till age has made her this way. "I had never thought of God, I had never did anything of it. Why I'm saying that there's a mix-up? How could he ever love me? How could he ever have a soft corner for me like that? A special corner in his heart for me? A prostitute? One who has spoiled her whole lifetime like that? How is it possible? That's why I'm saying. So now when you go there, give him these little hints and let him know that it is that woman who has now started loving you and remembering you." Moses says, okay. "All right, mother, I'll tell him that." Well, he goes, cut the story short, he goes and describes the whole thing there. And to the horror of Moses, for the first time he sees the divine wrath of Lord God. He says, tell that woman that now his case is not in my hand. It is between her and you. She confided in you and she didn't accept what I said to her. I have nothing to do with her. Now it is between you and her. And poor Moses is caught between the two. So he goes there and tells the story to her, that this is what the reply is, that because you confided in me and thought that God had mixed up the story, that means you didn't rely upon his omniscience, his infinite compassion, his infinite love. So it has nothing to do with you now, any longer. It is between you and me. And it's a very sad thing for me, mother, to tell you that. I have nothing to do with you. So she laments. That is divine jealousy of the Lord. Once you have somebody to intercede on your part, finish. Confidence. You had confidence in him and not in me. You confided your thing to him and not to me. You follow? That's the jealousy. Yeah. Have nothing to do with it. Another story. Now let us come to from Moses. Let's traverse. You see all the other advents. Come to Meher Baba's advent. You want Meher Baba's jealousy? All that I remember now is while telling the story is about this, that you could confide in this. And so what had happened is this, that there was a person. I don't know whether you heard the name, one of the Mandali was Gustaji. Have you heard of Gustaji? One who was given the silence. Yeah. He used to be with Sai Baba of Shirdi. Not this Sai Baba, mind you. Then he was handed over to Upasthi Maharaj. Upasthi Maharaj handed over to him to Baba and all that. His younger brother, by name Homi, eventually came to Baba through Gustaji also. Cut the story short, Homi loved Baba very much, and because his brother is there, brother has filled his ears with all these little good stories and all that sort of thing. So he's there, he's living with Baba now. So Homi and Gustaji are both living here. Mehrabad was once infested with scorpions and snakes and all that. You have no idea. Turn over a stone, and there's a scorpion there. Little kids would come, Baba would take great precautions to tell each one, you see, don't touch any stone there, there's a scorpion there. Remember, if you are stung by the scorpion, I won't do anything for you. Come on, don't touch the stone, nothing else. There are many beautiful stones and all sorts of forms and all that. Of course, they are all being exterminated now. So, but in spite of it, even Arangam was a sort of a deserted place. Everything is changed now. I can't give you the topography. It's so changed now, you can never recognize what it was before. So what it was like that, a desolate place and all that. So people from villages would come also. They came to know Homi is the one who has some sort of mantra that can give them little relief from scorpion sting. Homi had that. Relief.
Oh.
What he'll do, suppose if I'm stung here, so well he'll do this and then say some chant something and say do this and do that and all that, and people would get relief and go back happily. He knew the art of what we call, how do you speak out in English? Relief to the suffering. You'll release him from that sting, you know, that poison that is there. Somehow or other he had that. So that's how people came to know about it. And there'll be people coming in dead of the night and this and that. And eventually what happened was, go to Homi. Homi, somebody has come again for you. Go. That means scorpion stung. Person is come. So that's how. Eventually what happened, a day came when Baba wanted to transfer the whole place from here to Toka. There's a place called Toka, about 30 miles away from here, at the confluence of two rivers. you have not seen that place. Next time when Fred brings you, he will take you to many places also. Now don't look at me like that. For that you have to work hard, Linda. Yeah. You have to work also hard. Yeah. So what happens is now, they are transferred there. Means the whole place, stock, lock, stock and barrel, is taken from here, including bamboo mattings and bamboos and posts and this and what do you call these flagstones, and everything is being taken. Baba, I don't know what has Baba in his mind. Every time when he does that, he does that. Same thing with the Seclusion Hill cabin. He could have left them there and newly built, could have got it built anew here. No, get the whole thing down there. You know, so we had to dismantle it and carry it on our heads and bring it here and all that. Likewise, it was there. So there what happened now, to cut the story short, again the same thing, people came to know that he can give relief to the scorpions, things, you know, and there are many scorpions there on the river banks and all that sort of thing. So there again the people would come to him. Or anybody, any Mandi hears about it, says, homie, please give him the relief there, like that. One day it so happened that homie himself was stung by a scorpion. And as usual, there was no such thing as separate cabins or single room or double room or anything. They're always dorms, you see. One hall and there you have to live there with others. Yeah. No beds, no tables, no chairs, no cushions, no carpets. So the whole night this homie was shouting out, you see, oh Baba, oh Sai Baba, oh Meh Baba, and oh Pasnima. To sheer pain, it was a terrible sting, you see. And homie wouldn't allow anyone of the mandali to sleep. So next morning, when all the mandali are together in a hall, those who were with Baba, Baba says, that's customary, usual customary. Well, how did you pass the night? Did you sleep well? How did you sleep? Are you all right? How is your health? Likewise, he'll inquire. He is the most concerned one, father of us all. Always, always, mind you. So that was the routine. Every individual has to be seen to. So all of them said, it was a hellish night. What happened, Baba, is surprised, because he knows nothing. He is always the one who knows nothing. The omniscient, who knows nothing. What happened? Why? He says, oh, that homie, you know, he's not here, Baba, he's still shouting out there. Whole night he was shouting and wailing, and what happened, Baba? He says, why? He says, you know, scorpion stung him. Scorpion stung him? But he is the one who used to give relief to others. Why could he not give relief to himself? We don't know. We told him, he says, it doesn't work on myself, it works on others. Call him. So some or other, they bring him there, and he's still shouting and says, how many times I took your name and still it is worrying me and all that. Oh, what happened? So I'm stung by a scorpion. And I so many times I called you. So what can I do, homie? You did call me, I know, I heard your voice. Of course, Baba was far away from there. I heard your voice. I was in a great conference, just his making up of, I don't know whether it's making made up thing or was it true, one can never say. It's for you to decipher. I was in a great conference when all the five perfect masters were there and I was presiding over the conference. And you called out to me, no doubt about it. I heard your voice, your loved one. In spite of the conference, important conference, and I was heading the conference, I got up from the seat and came wanting to come to you. All of a sudden I heard, oh Sai Baba, help me, oh Sai Baba. So I said, well, you are calling Sai Baba. So I came and took my seat back. Sai Baba went there, and while he is going there, you called out for Tajuddin Baba and all that sort of thing, and some other Baba and some other Baba. So we all came and sat there and we continued with our work. Had you called out me alone, all and everything for me, that would have been a different thing. There is another tinge of jealousy there. But I think it is mentioned in your Hebrew scriptures and all that, that he is the most jealous God. Huh? Mm-hmm. It is mentioned, no? How do we inherit jealousy? It is from him only. It has percolated into illusion like that. But it's a limited jealousy. His is terrible. He cannot stand anything. So him and him alone. Yeah. No also ran business with him.